1 Peter chapter 1 in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verse 3 through verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through verse number 9. Think about this. This will be, if you don't come back tonight, this will be your last sermon you will hear in 2020. Wow. We really move fast if this is the last one in 2021. But nonetheless, the Lord has laid this message on my heart to share with you, a message of encouragement, a message of hope. In fact, that is the title of the message this morning, Hope for the New Year. Hope for the New Year. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're looking at verse number 3. The Word of God said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, 1 Peter is more toward the end of the New Testament scripture, right after the book of James, and give you again a moment there to find it. But 1 Peter chapter 1 now, and look at verse number 4. The Word of God says this, "To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." This year has been challenging in so many ways. And I have heard many people say that they just want to close the chapter on this year like it is a bad dream they have been living. Many people have gotten sick with the coronavirus, and sadly, some have died as a result of this, not just in our country, but around the world. Businesses have closed down, and many people have lost their jobs. Schools and colleges have gone from being online and then at times going back to in-person, and it's just like going back and forth. And it's not only frustrating to the students, but it's also at times very frustrating to the parents because they just don't know what it's going to be from time to time. Also in this time, suicides are up in number. Hopelessness seems to be abounding, and people are asking this question: will life ever get back to normal? They are also asking, will life ever get better? But I love this quote. "There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them." And as I think about that, I want to today share with you a message of hope that God has designed for us to have, not only for the new year, but even throughout the rest of this week, that we would experience hope, because God is a God of hope. He doesn't want us to live life with hopelessness. He wants us as God's people to live with a spirit of hope. And he tells us how to have this hope. Beginning in verse number 3, we notice that there are at least 4 different kinds of hope that we ought to possess as we prepare ourselves to go into the new year 2021. Notice with me, if you would, first of all, in verse number 3, that we ought to possess a living hope. Again, notice verse 3, what the Word of God says this to us: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A living hope. Now, the Word of God teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible then, as a result of that, says this, that mankind without God, according to Ephesians, has no hope in this world. Now think about that statement. That's not Lewis Kennedy's statement. That's straight from the Word of God, that anybody without God in this world has no hope. I once was there. Many of you once were there. Before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you had no hope. You may not have looked at it that way, but yet God says, spiritually speaking, people who are without me, people who do not know my Son Jesus Christ as Savior, have no hope. Now, God, on the other side of that coin, offers hope. And many of us here in this congregation have entered into that hope. We have this living hope. But it's not because of who we are. It's because, as verse 3 says, it's because of His abundant mercy. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. God giving us that which, withholding from us, if you would, that which we do deserve, that's mercy. And the Bible here says, too, is abundant mercy. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that God is rich in mercy. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3 that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So this living hope comes through the abundant mercy of God, and it comes by way of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I realize that we just came through a holiday season that emphasizes the first coming of Jesus Christ and His birth. But if you move forward 33 years down the road in His life, there is a time in which Jesus Christ would hang on that cross, because that's truly why He was born. There was a musical put on entitled Born to Die. And truly Jesus was born to die, but yet He not only died, He arose from the grave. He is a risen, living Savior. And because He lives, He said, you shall live also. You see, again, going back to what our life was like before Christ, we were dead in trespasses and in sins. We had no hope. We had no way of saving ourselves. We had no way, if you would, of trying to go to heaven. Oh, we might have said things like this that I hear people often say, I'm doing the best that I can. I belong to this church, or I belong to that church. I'm of this denomination or that denomination. That may have characterized our life before Christ. But reality is we were dead in trespasses and in sin spiritually. We needed someone, again, to make us alive. And that's where the resurrection of Jesus Christ comes in. That when He died and rose again, we then too can be made alive in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, and you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sin. So the kind of hope we need to have going into the new year, first of all, is living hope. A hope that gets me through, not only through the difficulties of life, but just gets me from day to day, and I have a blessed hope. I have a possession of a hope that I know that I know that I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, the Bible says, that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I wonder this morning in your life, and I know many of you can say amen to this, but do you know that you have this living hope? Praise the Lord if you do, but if you don't, I tell you today that Jesus Christ stands ready to save. And we find in this context that you can have this living hope. But because of this living hope, look at verse 4 and verse 5, you can have a secure hope. For he says in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Church, understand this. You are rich. So have you looked at my bank account lately? No. But I've looked at heaven's bank account. The Bible tells us we are rich in Jesus Christ. We are seated with him in the heavenlies. Now, quite frankly, I can't understand all of that, but yet the Bible says that we are heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. I know one day that Jesus doesn't come first, that my father will pass away. And I know that he's got a will. He's told us. He's told us who the executor of the will is and all of that. And I know that there is going to come something in there for me. I don't know. He hasn't told me. That's all right. Kind of the element of surprise. And to Lewis Canaday, nothing but my love. I don't know. Now, I'll probably inherit all of his books. My dad is an avid reader, and he's got a lot of commentaries and so forth, so I may inherit that. But I tell you, regardless of what I may inherit from that, I have something far better. Because of the living hope we have this hope, as he says in verse number 4, to an inheritance incorruptible. It is reserved for you in heaven. You see, the more difficult life gets on this earth, the better heaven seems. Thank God in heaven, there'll be no coronavirus. Thank God in heaven, there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more death. I'm telling you, we have a lot to look forward to as God's people. And he says here that this is a secure hope because he says in verse number 5 that you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Politicians often, particularly presidents, will have their security team around them. This security team will go before them and make sure things are safe. Sometimes you will see that presidential limousine traveling down the road, and if you've read anything about how, quote, secure that is, it's really amazing. But you have these men that are on that security force. They are there. They have one purpose. That is to guard the President of the United States. According to verse number 5, the Bible says that we are, if you would, guarded by the power of God, that nothing can pluck us out of his hand. We are secure in him. We have a secure hope. For the Bible says this, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So here in verse number 4 and verse number 5, he says you have a living hope. You have a secure hope. Boy, people are really now in a time in which they don't know what is secure. They don't know if they'll have a job tomorrow. They don't know if they'll have a job next year and so forth. How are the bills going to be met? And people are living in times of insecurity. And yet, God says to us that we have something that is very secure. We have a secure hope. It is good as done. It's already waiting for us in heaven, reserved for us in heaven. But notice now verse number 6. In verse number 6, he talks about another kind of hope that we ought to possess as we prepare to go into the new year, and that is a comforting hope. Look at verse 6 where he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, if you look at verse number 1, you notice who he's writing to. He's writing to a group of strangers who are scattered abroad throughout different areas. The reason they are scattered is because in that time in which these people were living, they were under severe persecution as Christians. So they are driven from their homeland. They're having to go from town to town, village to village, wherever they can find a place of safety and put down some new roots. If you've ever moved from, let's just say, from one state to another, you know how that there can be an air of excitement to that, but there can also be very unnerving, unsettling, because you're not sure what really lies ahead. Are people going to like us? Are we going to be welcome in a new church that we find? And all of that kind of thing. So here is a group of people who are being persecuted. And because of their persecution, they probably weren't able to leave with very much as they went from the next town to the next town to the next town. And so life is not good for these people. But he tells them something in verse number 6 and verse number 7. He says that you can find comfort in your time of trial. And what is that comfort? It's twofold. Verse number 6, he says that these trials will pass, that they are for a season. How many times have you ever been in a moment of difficulty, yea, even a trial in life, and thought this thing will never end? I wonder if this is how these people felt. As Peter writes to them, he says to them, this is for a season. Thank God, trials will pass. You can find comfort in that. I read the account of an explorer by the name of Ernest Shackleton, who was part of a doomed mission to cross the South Pole that got lost for nearly a year. Sub-zero temperatures, hardly any food, and he said the worst part was the darkness. Because at the South Pole, the sun goes down in mid-May and doesn't come back up until August. Darkness that covers you, and there's just no way out. As I read that, I thought that's how some people feel regarding their problems. There's just no way out. Where do I go? Who do I turn to? How soon will this be over? Like, I am so ready for this to be over. Yesterday, a month ago, how long is this going to continue? And here in verse number 6, he says it is for a season. Church, I just want to remind you this morning that you can find comfort. I'm not saying and disregarding your trials that you may be going through this morning, but do understand the Bible says that it is but for a season. It is but for a moment compared to all of eternity in heaven with the Lord. This moment, this time in life, he says, it is but for a moment. It is but for a season. This too shall pass. That's what he's encouraging them with. And then he says in verse number 7, he says that these trials are there to grow your faith. Look what he says now in verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Trials grow us up if we will accept them. If we will embrace them, if we will go into it, if you would, and say, God, what do you have for me in this? Or, here's the other side of that coin, and I've seen some people respond this way. Why me, God? Why? Why me? What sin am I committing in my life? I want you to understand something. That's usually a common statement that people make. What sin am I committing in my life? I'm not saying that's not necessarily a good question to ask. But do you realize sometimes God takes us through trials not because of sin in our life, but he wants us to become more like him through them. And sometimes he will take us through those trials to grow us up, to discipline us when we have disobeyed His will at times. At other times, trials prepare us for spiritual growth, or even to help us and to prevent us from sinning. Warren Wiersbe says, when God permits His children to go through the furnace, He keeps His eye on the clock and His hand on the thermostat. And when we go through the difficulties in life, and by the way, people are asking, what will 2021 hold in regard to the coronavirus? May I say to you, I don't know. I'm not even going to stand here and try to act like an expert. Well, it'll be over in August of 2021. We don't know. But here's what I do know. That God that has been with us during this year will be with us in 2021. Because He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. And so whatever we encounter in this next year, whatever we encounter, God wants us to find comfort in the hope that we possess in Him. It sounds like a cliche, but you know, cliches do have some good meaning to them. But here is one of them. God is on the throne and in control. Amen? Whatever 2021 brings us next year, it won't catch God by surprise. It will catch us by surprise, but it won't catch Him by surprise. I find comfort in knowing that my God is on the throne and in control. Back in March, 2 weeks before our country shut down, some of you will recall on a Wednesday night, I began a series of messages entitled Future Events That Will Rock the World. No, God did not give me a vision. I didn't see any great lights. It was just a prophecy series of messages that future events that are going to rock the world. Little did I know, 2 weeks later, that our country would shut down for 15 days on the request of our president. Many of our churches, ours included, we shut down for a season. We just didn't know how to handle all this. And yet I thought to myself then, and I still believe it today, that while that caught us by surprise, God didn't. God was not surprised. And may I say that when we encounter trials in life, things will be moving along smoothly, and then boom, we get hit with something. Whatever it is. We have to take comfort in knowing that God has a purpose and a plan in it all. It's a comforting hope. It's a living hope. It's a secure hope. But then there's one other hope that we need as we go into 2021. And that is a certain hope. Look now again in your Bibles. Look now at verse number 7. At the end of it, he says, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, church, may I say to you that we as God's people have a certain hope. What do we believe? Based on the Word of God, we believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. We look back in essence and think about His first coming. I get that. But we now are looking forward to this truth that Jesus Christ may come today. Because He said this in John 14, if I go, I will come again. That's a promise. I don't know when He's coming. A prophecy teacher has come out and says it's going to be October 2021 based on the generational teaching in the Word of God. But Here's the problem I have with that. No man knows the day, no man knows the hour, but my Father only. So I'm not going to set dates, but I do know this, he's coming. He may come before 2020 is over, but yet he is coming again. The Bible says, according to Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming again. Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus Christ to come? He's going to come in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then the believers that remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. I do find comfort in those words. And here he's reminding these suffering Christians who are really going through it. They're being persecuted for their faith. And he is saying to them, hold it, Jesus Christ is coming. I heard him, Peter could say, I heard Jesus say it. In fact, Peter could say, I saw Jesus go back into heaven. And I know he's seated at the right hand of the Father, but at the right time, God's going to say, Jesus, go get my children. Even so, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, because he's coming, he says in verse 8, that we ought to love him now, whom having not seen, you love. You love him now, you trust him now, yet believing, he says, though you don't see him, yet you believe, and you rejoice in him now. Though you don't see him, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Church, this is the kind of hope that we need as we go into 2021. A living hope. You see, I'm thankful. And I don't say this in a braggadocio way. I say this all glory to God. I'm thankful I know I'm saved and on my way to heaven today. How about you? Are you glad that you're on your way to heaven? Yeah, it's such a great knowledge to possess. You see, where I hear people say, I don't know how people make it without Jesus in this world. And I say amen to that statement. How do you make it in this world without going God's way and living for God? Because I'm going to tell you, we've seen it way before this past election. Our hope is not in politics. Our hope's not there. Our hope's not in a booming economy. Because we can see how quick that can go away. Our hope is not in a religion. Our hope is in Jesus. My hope is in the Lord. It's a living hope that gives me security. In just a couple of weeks, I'm going to be going through a surgery. And they say all surgeries are kind of like major, especially if you're put under. And so I'll be put under for a couple of hours. And, you know, this surgery is going to involve cutting my ear and going inside of my head. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. Anybody want to volunteer and take my place, go ahead. But, you know, and so he'll put electrodes on my chest to make sure that he doesn't, nick any nerves in my face. And so there is an element of risk to all of this, but it needs to be taken care of. But I do know this. I know where my faith is, and my hope is in the Lord. Amen. I remember, some of you heard this, but some of you haven't. I remember a little over 5 years ago when I knew I was going to have open heart surgery. And I'm laying there on the having my heart cath, and And my cardiologist comes out and he says, I've got some news for you. He said, I really wanted to put stents in, but I couldn't because of where your one artery was located. If I tried to put one in there, I would have blown your vein out. And so we got to opt for open heart surgery. And I'm, at that point, you know, I was kind of anticipating that, hoping not, but anticipating it. So 4 days later, I had the surgery, but before that surgery, God gave me a verse from the book of Psalms that God is with them that care for you. Now, that's a little paraphrase of it, but it's in the Psalms. And I found such comfort in that, that going into that surgery, whether I came out alive or not, I was not worried because I knew this. If I died on that operating table, that I would be in the presence of the Lord. And if I came out with my eyes open and able to see my wife and my children again, praise God. And that's how it happened. God gave me more time to serve Him and live for Him. But I'm telling you, when you face times like that, you're sure thankful that you know God. You're sure thankful that you have Jesus as your Savior, and you're sure thankful that you have a living hope, a secure hope, a comforting hope, and a certain hope. Are you ready for Jesus to come? I've been reading for now the last 5 years. Every month I read through the book of Revelation. In fact, if you were to look at this Bible, hold it in your hands, it pretty much opens up to Revelation. What a book, what a book. And right at the front end of the book, it gives you the key to the whole book. It's about the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's coming. And because He is, the Bible says, look for Him. Anticipate His coming. Watch for Him. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. This is the hope we have that God has designed for us to have for the new year. There's a story about a young boy who made a vase in kindergarten for his parents. Christmas was approaching, so the teacher helped the little one to wrap the package in bright wrapping paper to give to his mom and dad. The day before the Christmas holidays arrived, mom and dad came to the school to take their child home. And with pride and joy, the boy walked out of the building with his parents toward the car. However, as he came down the steps, the child, in his great excitement, tripped. The package flew into the air and came crashing down upon the ground. When he realized what had happened, the little boy began to just cry uncontrollably. And his father tried to comfort him and said, you know, son, it really doesn't matter. Don't worry. It's okay. But the mother, having more insight than the father at that moment, looked at the dad and said, oh no, you are wrong. It does matter. It matters a great deal. And that mother picked up her little boy and began to cry right alongside him. And after they had their good cry, the mother said, okay, let's pick up the broken pieces and see what we can do to put it back together. God so loved the world that He reached down into a broken world of sin to give us hope. Do you have hope today? Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, hope, that's what God offers. And yet the Bible says people without Jesus in this world have no hope. But God's stating that in one way says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who say, Pastor, I do not know that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that Jesus is my Savior. But today, I'm concerned about my soul. I'm concerned about where I will spend all of my eternity. I'd like to know for sure that Jesus is my Savior and that I'm on my way to heaven. That's my need. If that's you this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you just raise your hand right where you're at and say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I don't know if I die to go to heaven, but I really do want to know. That's my need in my life right now. Would you just lift your hand up? I'll acknowledge it. You put it right back down. Anybody at all while we wait? Anybody at all? I wonder this morning there'd be those here who say, Pastor, my life, I needed this message because I need some hope. And God has reminded me through His Word that no matter how difficult this year has been, that I can look up to Him and find hope. I can look up to Him and find hope. And Pastor, that's how I want to leave today, with a spirit of hope in God. If that's your need this morning, would you lift your hand right where you're at? Just lift it up. I'll acknowledge it. You put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else, say yes. I need to leave with hope in God today. Not keeping my eye on the circumstances and all the things to do with this virus and watching the news. I need to look up. I need to look to God and stay fixed on Him. Somebody else, while we wait, somebody else, say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. This week, I really need to put my hope in Him and follow Him. Anybody else, while we wait, just lift your hand up and put it right back down while we wait. Now, Father, I thank You this morning for the power of Your Word. Thank You for the Lord Jesus. Thank You that He is coming. He may come today. Help us to be ready for His coming. And as we prepare to go into the new year, may we have a spirit of hope, because we know only You know what 2021 holds. And so help us to have a rock solid faith in You, that nothing that comes in 2021 can move us away from You. Thank You for that hope that we find in You. May we be comforted in that. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.